Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sans Pants Radio, you saucy minx, you.
Hi guys, it's Handsome Tom here. If you're interested in seeing the Movie Maintenance Crew live in person in Melbourne on Sunday the 17th of December, then you should come and do that. It's 3 o'clock at Some Velvet Morning in Clifton Hill. Tickets are $5 each or free for all Sans Pants Plus members. Just head to the Sans Pants Radio website, which is sanspantsradio.com/live. Click on the event and buy your tickets. It'll be great, I promise. Welcome to another episode of Movie Maintenance, where some franchises just need rebooting. I'm Handsome Tom.
I'm Carney.
I'm Jackson.
And this week, it's Scooby-Doo.
Hey, Scooby!
Scooby, Scooby-Doo, looking for you.
Scooby-Doo-Doo. I assume that's the...
Is that how the song goes?
Do you not know, Sean?
Na 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 Scooby Snack, don't look back.
What is that song?
That's the original. That's Scooby-Doo, where are you? It's like something, something, gonna find yourself a Scooby snack. Don't look back. And then he's pulled into the fucking cupboard by the ghouls.
Come on, Tom. It's like you haven't even seen Scooby-Doo before.
Well, I thought I had, but apparently...
I have a dearth of Scooby-Doo knowledge.
Well, that is why we asked you to come here today.
It's unparalleled. When did
Scooby begin?
1969.
Oh boy.
Was the original Scooby-Doo, Where Are You, season 1.
Yep. This is good, because I was like, when I was working at when to set it, I was like, oh, the 60s. I'm like, no, the 60s is a little bit too far back. So yeah, I went with the 70s, which is perfect, because the show started
literally
as the 70s came through.
And then, whoops, 70s.
Did it begin as a TV show or a comic book, or what was
it? It began as a TV show. The original Scooby-Doo pitch never had Scooby-Doo in it. It was about a team of traveling musician teens, and it wasn't a comedy. You know how the original Scooby-Doo series had like a laugh track and shit?
None
of that. And they played it for some kids, and some kids were like, that's scary. This is not entertaining. I'm just afraid. And they were like, fuck, how do we make this good for kids? Add a fucking dumb fuck dog. And they were like, what do we call
this?
It's me, Scooby-Doo.
My dog's not going to talk.
Thank God. Scooby-Doo shouldn't talk, frankly. He's got nothing good to say.
Well, the live action, and then we got the really good live action films filmed on the Gold Coast. Hence why Movie World has that Scooby-Doo ride. I don't know if you've ever been on that Scooby-Doo ride at Warner Brothers Movie World, TM. But the wait for that ride is like 90 minutes long.
Really?
It's not worth it. And you're inside. It's that, you know, that roller coaster they have in the film with like the clown faces, the Rowan Atkinson film. So you line up for like 90 minutes and they just play a 15-minute behind the scenes clip from that film on a loop. So like, I know everything there is to know about the making of Scooby-Doo the movie.
That's great.
Why wasn't it called Scooby-Doo the Doovie?
Yeah.
Or Scooby movie.
Well, yeah, Scooby-Doo the Doovie. That just doesn't sound good.
Scooby-Doovie.
But like, Scooby-Doovie.
This is the James Gunn scripted one, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. Did he do the second one?
I've no idea.
The second one's great. Like, it's not a good movie, but it's so like...
Is it better than the first?
It's packed really heavy with references to the original series. Like,
the second one's got the monsters they bring to life.
Yeah.
Fake... They find the guy uses the machine to bring the costumes back to life.
And they'll come back as the monsters. I think there's... In one of the original episodes of the first series, they go to like a gelato factory and they fight a pink ghost, a brown ghost, and a white ghost who are like the Neapolitan ice cream ghosts. And I think they come back in the movie and Shaggy and Scooby ate them from memory.
Wow. No, that's it. Yeah, they're like a Sunday ghost or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, and they consume them.
Wow, that's interesting. That's the one also where they have the journalist, and the reveal is that she's actually an old man, like a crazy old man in a costume. And I only remember that because the cameraman who, like, has helped her pull off these nefarious plots, because it's always about the pulling off the mask. They pull off the mask of this journalist, and it's a creepy old inventor. And the cameraman is just like, oh, man, we cuddled.
Oh, that's great.
It's, you know, highbrow shit.
So did you watch this heaps as a kid?
I watched the movie a lot. It's one of those movies that my brother and I just ended up watching a lot of. I don't know why.
Yeah.
We used to have like a video that was like a whole bunch of old Hanna-Barbera cartoons. So it was like Wacky Races, the flying one with the pigeon, Stop the Pigeon.
Yeah,
It's Dick Dastardly again trying to kill a pigeon in a biplane because he's like a Nazi or something. It's really weird. It's literally, and the theme song was like, Stop the Pigeon, Stop. Anyway, so there was that, and there were some Scooby-Doo episodes on there.
Do you remember which episodes?
With like an undersea ghost guy. So he was like a deep sea diver.
Yeah, I remember that one. I'm so close to even being able to remember the name.
Oh, no, come on. I'm counting on you. It'd be like Davy Jones' Locker or something.
No, it's not even that clever. It'll probably be called something like a creepy kook for a space something. I don't know. Like
creepy kook, space underwater kook.
They all had names like that, or like a spooky time for Scooby Doo, but no, oh fuck, I can't remember what it's
called. There's another one with like a Frankenstein's monster type ghoul thing.
Is he blue?
Yes, and he attacks a policeman.
Yeah, I love that one.
He attacks a policeman.
Yes.
That's how they find out about the monster.
My favorite one about
the mayor or the police chief or something. I can't remember.
I love that episode because the monster just isn't a ghost. Like, in every other one, the monster disappears. Like, you know, at the end, they're like, oh, this is how he did it. And it's never a reasonable explanation because, like, in one episode, a vampire turns into a bat. And they never explain how
they pull it off. Go, look, it was this guy all along. Like, what about the bat part?
He became a bat. That's fucked.
It was like, this guy all along.
It just was him. But in that one, the ghost never does anything that a human couldn't do. He's like, leave this place. And then he just turns around and walks away.
Yeah, he's like a lumbering, he's just a man. He's just a man.
Just
like
a guy.
The police would be able to like just shoot him.
Just arrest
him. Or arrest him.
He has no powers.
But yeah, so those were the ones that we watched on high rotation. But I think we watched Stop the Pigeon more because I can remember that theme song. Yeah, that was the one I remember. There's also the Miner, like a prospector.
Miner 49er.
Miner 49er.
Yeah, yeah.
Who appears in the second film.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, it was great. That's all. Very.
How you going over there, Sean?
Oh, yeah, no, these references, they're all coming in. And I'm understanding all of them completely. And yeah, I'm trying to wonder, like, why I never really saw this as a kid. Like, Jackson, where did you watch it? Was it on TV or were you just getting the tapes or what?
Induction is my aunt had Foxtel, which is like our cable basically, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
we only have one cable.
Yeah. We have the one and it's Foxtel. And whenever I'd stay over at like my cousin's, I would sleep in the lounge room and they were like, well, you can just watch TV if you want. And so late at night, I would have been like six. So like 7 p.m. or something. They played
still light outside.
Scooby-Doo and then all of the Scooby-Doo like rip-off shows, because there was this period of time after Scooby-Doo success where they were like, easy. That's how you make a TV. You get some teens and a talking animal.
The Blue Dog as well.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. And one of the guys had a camera and that was his deal. That's all I remember about it. It was like Scooby-Doo, but there was a guy with a camera now.
Because there was a superhero dog as well. There was like a one that was grey and it had like a green cape and stuff. Yeah. And he crossed over into the Scooby-Doo universe sometimes.
Dino-Mutt.
Dino-Mutt, that's
and the
him.
Blue Falcon.
Well, that if you ever watch the show Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, Dino-Mutt gets murdered.
I think so. But it's all a ploy to hold a surprise birthday party for Murray.
for Birdman.
Yeah. They send him to prison.
That's right, because Blue Falcon gets a job at the law firm and he's better than Harvey. So Harvey in order to get rid of him, tries to frame him for killing his own dog and then is racked with guilt at murdering this dog and goes to confess to Phil Ken Seven. And then it's just Birdman's birthday and Blue Falcon's alive. And he's like, and Dino-Mutt's alive as well. And everyone's kind of like, what?
I'm pretty sure it's like Birdman's about to get the chair. And they're all sitting there and it's like 3, 2, 1. Ah, surprise. Oh, fuck. How good was Harvey Birdman?
It's extremely dark as well.
Did you watch Harvey Birdman?
I've seen a bit of it, yeah.
It's possibly... This is, you know, it's still related because
it's Hanna-Barbera.
He represents Shaggy and Scooby for possessing
marijuana.
Marijuana.
There's that great scene where they're like giggling and he's like, "Are they high?" And Velma's like, "No, they're just like this. They're just idiots."
There's been heaps of crossovers, though, right? Didn't they like crossover with Batman and stuff?
Well, and also Fred Flintstone. So anything that was owned by like the Cartoon Network cartoon franchise, because they used to do it all the time. But yeah, Scooby-Doo and Batman have teamed up on a number of occasions.
Yeah.
There was season 3, I think, of the original series was like a guest season. That's when they teamed up with the Harlem Globetrotters. That's when they teamed up with...
Wow.
All of these really like famous like talk show hosts and stuff from the day that... I remember. I
like
only
Ed
remember
Sullivan or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I barely remember any of those episodes, but I know there's one where there's a giant chicken and one of the old timey celebrities is doing like his thing. You know, like it was everyone's like, oh, he's doing whatever his bit was, and Shaggy's yeah. like, be quiet. I think they eat that chicken.
Wow, that's dark. Because there's no, but there's heaps of things where like recently the creators apparently people are like, oh, are they stoners? Mm. And the creators are like, no, we never gave them drugs. We just put references in there, and the studio executive just never realized.
That's great. Because
that would be dumb for us to do that in a kids show, but we got away with it.
That's kind of like H.R. Puff and stuff. Do you remember H.R. Puff?
His name is literally H.R. Puff and Stuff.
Yeah, and they use lids. No, they live in Lidsville, and lids was like slang at the time. It's like Chockers with references
magical
to
pipe
like,
that you blow into, and all of a sudden you transport to a magical world.
How did they get away with
living
this?
Island?
It was the 60s.
Fucking hell.
Like, yeah. It was just... Well, look at... No, to be fair, look at some of the fucking... Have you ever seen an episode of Yo Gabba Gabba? Yeah, that shit is like an acid nightmare, and it's for children. One of them is like... One of the monsters on it is just like a spindly like picnic bar with arms
yeah.
and one eye. Like, and there's a pink, a yellow robot in a dress.
And there's like a cat whose arms come out the front, not yep. the side.
And then there's a yellow, a blue thing. And the main, like the human character that interacts with them all is like a hip hop DJ in an orange condom hat.
Yeah. Yeah, Gabba Gabba's crazy.
Children's shows are generally fucked, is the consensus.
Is Scooby-Doo ongoing? Like, is it still a TV series or is it just like specials and stuff now?
Well, I think there's like, just like, TV films, like movies.
There are TV shows as well. So the most recent one is called Be Cool Scooby-Doo, and it's very much inspired by like modern cartoons. You can really tell that they're like, let's kind of throw everything out to do like a kind of, I don't know, not like Adventure Time, but like fucking Gumball and that kind of.
Yeah.
But then the one before that was great. It was called Mystery Inc. And it was like a Scooby-Doo show written by people who love Scooby-Doo, but also want to make fun of Scooby-Doo. So like Fred Jones is this weird sexless idiot. And Daphne's like, let's fucking be boyfriend and girlfriend. He's like, I just care about building traps. And that's it. And she's like, you have to choose between me and building traps, Fred Jones. And he's like,
traps? He loves traps.
He loves them.
There's a whole thing where it's like, they do like a flashback to when they were at high school. And literally, his interests are traps and martial arts.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is it.
That's it.
It was so good. It was so good. That's the one that's basically canonically, they're like, Velma is a lesbian. She has a girlfriend by the end of that show. They like do everything but make it explicit. Her name is Hot Dog Water, which is weird, but it's good.
Her name's Hot Dog Water.
Her name is Hot Dog Water.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's phenomenal. Because she's unwashed, I guess, and they don't stop calling her Hot Dog Water throughout the show. It's odd.
Well, that's a very Hanna-Barbera thing to have characters named just dumb.
Just
like,
nonsense.
Apparently, Fred Jones' nemesis was a guy called Red Herring, and he blamed him for everything when it wasn't him, which was literally a reference to a red herring being a false
That's hilarious.
Solution. Anyway, well, this ties in nicely. So what I wanted to do is reboot Mystery Inc. in a sort of Riverdale vibe.
Yes.
I've only watched a couple of episodes of Riverdale. Didn't love it. So this is interesting that I'm going to emulate it.
I don't watch Riverdale, but my brother Ryder does. And the amount of times he just tells me something that happened and I'm like, he's like, oh, they formed a militia in the last episode. I'm like, how did Archie in the gang? But it's like...
Archie's fought Predator in comic books.
It's crazy.
Archie versus Predator.
Yeah.
Predator comes to Riverdale and Archie has to defeat it.
The only Archie I ever read was Afterlife with Archie, where it was like the zombie one.
How
it
good was
really
Afterlife
cool,
with Archie?
Yeah.
That was great.
Well, apparently they're going to do stuff like that. So what they've announced is that the guys who did Riverdale, Sabrina the Teenage Witch is going to appear in season 2, and then they're eventually going to get a Sabrina spin-off.
Oh, okay.
Well, that comic's like apparently one of the best of the year, the Sabrina one.
What's it called? Like the something something.
I can't remember what it's called, but it's by the dude who did Afterlife with Archie.
So I think that's basically what they're doing is they're bringing back those old things and making them grittier and edgier.
Cool.
So basically, I've gone, what if we did that with Scooby-Doo and like sort of Stranger Things did it up a bit, because that's also popular. Basically, I'm trying to become popular with the kids.
Yep.
As I was saying to you guys off air, I've plotted out. So it's a TV series. I haven't plotted out every episode, but I've kind of got the rough spine. The first episode I plotted out completely, and sort of the end of it I have as well. I put a lot of thought more into the casting and the title and tagline of the show
than the idea itself.
So, like, it would be called Mystery Inc. So we're not going to call it Scooby-Doo.
Great.
Because It's lame.
Yeah.
And also, it implies that the dog is the main character. But in this version, it's an actual real life dog.
Oh, good.
No talking.
So it's not garbage CGI or.
What are you talking about? That was all good CGI. That Zimmer is in a dress.
Ah.
And they body swap.
Do they?
Oh, no. The best thing about the first film of that James Gunn one is they just introduce Scrappy Doo. The reveal is it's Scrappy Doo. Who's Scrappy Doo? Here's a flashback. This is Scrappy Doo. What a twist.
I think in the Mystery Inc. cartoon, they imply that Scrappy Doo is dead.
Because he's a shit.
Is he the little one?
Yeah. In the 80s, there was this TV show which, for some reason, starred only Scooby, Scrappy Doo, Shaggy, and Daphne. Fred and Velma weren't in it. I don't know why. And it lasted for like one season. And then
Fred had gone to trap school. And then Velma was in like one of those creepy Christian re-education camps to make her straight. This is the 70s.
Yeah, look. But they added another character who was a little like racist stereotype of an Indian person. And he was a thief. And then in Mystery Inc., they're in a museum of their past adventures for some reason. And they see a photo of him. And Daphne starts crying, and Fred's like, it's so sad that he got, shipped to prison.
It's like, despite Fred never met this guy.
Yeah, he's just like, it's so sad I never met him because he got shipped to a prison. Amazing. Wow. Amazing.
This
that show
was way more fucked up than I have given it credit for
Mystery
at all.
Mystery Inc. was amazing.
So Mystery Inc. is the name of the show, and imagine this is a tagline for the show. So, like, literally the first teaser trailer would just be the name, like the van. Like this, like a slow zoom in across the panels of the van, because it's an iconic van.
Yeah.
And then the tagline would be like, Mystery Inc. coming July. And the tagline would be, they would have gotten away with it too.
That's good.
Anyway, so yeah, so trying to reboot it. So it's going to be set in the 70s, sort of early 70s. And they're going to be at high school, because I think they're just out of high school. But they're kind of weirdly both sort of still teenagers at high school and not. So I'm just going to put them in high school in like their senior year or whatever. And it's the same thing where they're like debunking mysteries. So Bit of a cast. So Fred, I've cast Justin Prentice, who's in 13 Reasons Why and the new season of Preacher. If you've seen 13 Reasons Why, he plays Bryce. He's the big jock douchebag.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the rapist.
Yeah,
But he looks like a Fred.
He does.
He's kind of chubby and jocky. He's also in Preacher. He's in hell with Arseface, if you've seen season two of Preacher, Sean. Have you seen season two of Preacher?
No, I never will.
Seen season one. What's his name again? Let me look him up.
His name is Justin Prentice. Daphne, while you're doing that, is in Riverdale. Her name is Madeline Petch. She plays Cheryl Blossom, who's a redhead.
Perfect, Daphne.
I was like, bang, done, me up. I'm glad you're on board with this.
Who's Daphne?
Madeline Petch, P-E-T-S-O-H. She's in Riverdale. Velma, I've cast Natalia Dyer, who plays Nancy in Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's great.
Because I was like, put some glasses on you and, you know, there we go. And also from Stranger Things, a Shaggy, a.k.a. Norval Rogers.
Yeah.
I've cast Joe Keery, who is Steve Harrington.
Oh, okay, cool.
Purely because I'm like, put some long hair on this guy.
Yeah, give him a little gross goatee. Yeah.
And he just has to be, a bit awkward and funny. And I feel like he's got good comic chops.
Absolutely.
I literally had like, when I originally wrote down who could be in it, everyone was just from Stranger Things. I was like, oh, I gotta mix this shit up. I'll reveal two more characters. So the mayor of the town they live in is Mayor Dickens, played by Bob Odenkirk.
Oh. Right.
And Old Man Johnson, because there's always an old man, played by Bill Murray.
Is he cranky?
Oh, he's very cranky.
Okay.
Old Man Johnson. Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, so we'll jump in. So in my head, it's about an 8 to 10 episode thing, depending on how much I can get out of this. So, first episode, it's a cold open. We just hear the opening riff of Donovan's Season of the Witch. If you've ever heard that song.
Yeah.
And basically we see the van parked at the front of a spooky-looking house. And we kind of, there's like mist coming in. It's a stereotypical spooky house. Music's coming from inside the van, and we zoom in through the window, and there is Shaggy eating just a shitload of burgers and fries with his just rocking out some tunes, and next to him is this dog. And he's like feeding him chips, but they're not like having conversations. And he's just eating lots of food. And as he's kind of relaxing, the sun's building, all of a sudden a walkie-talkie bursts to life next to him and he just shits himself and like spills food everywhere and the dog's like barking. You hear Fred Jones asking them if they see anything outside. He's like, nah, negatory, there's like nothing going on out here, man. It's all good. Just me and my burgers. It's like, okay, cool, keep an eye out. So he goes back to eating burgers and ignoring things, and just like a shadow moves past the window of the van behind him. We cut to inside the house, and it's Fred walking around with a torch in one hand and a walkie-talkie the other with Daphne and Velma. And, you know, they're trying to look for the ghost of the Lost Ranger, a supposed cowboy haunting this house. And they agree to split up because it's the best way to catch this ghost, cover guys. Ground. And Daffy's like, that's a really bad idea, Fred. He's like, no, I know ideas, all right? I'm good at traps and ideas. So they split up, and basically as soon as they start to split up, doors start like slamming behind them, and the house itself actually begins like trying to isolate them one-on-one. They would originally not see it, and then one of them would realize that a bookcase has just dropped down to block them from going back the way they've came, and they start like trying to contact Shaggy and Scooby back in the van. Music's too loud and Shaggy's just rocking out and it's not paying attention to it. You just see another shadow go past the van again while he's dancing. He's like, oh, is it? No, they're just going to keep dancing. And Scooby starts to like whine and get really like distressed. And Shaggy's like, oh, what's going on? Do you need to go outside? And he opens the door and the dog just like bolts.
Yeah.
And Shaggy's like, oh man, I don't want to go out. It's foggy and there's a haunted house. And meanwhile, at the radio, like he finally hears the walkie-talkie and these guys are like, Shaggy, you need to help us. You need to help us. And he's like, oh, man, oh, Scooby-Doo, where are you? And he gets his torch and he walks out looking for him. And meanwhile, inside the house, the gang are now being like terrorized by like a poltergeist, it seems. There's stuff flying at them. They still can't get back together and it's just getting worse and worse. One of the walkie-talkies gets destroyed and they're trying to find their way back to one another, but it's escalating. It's terrifying. Meanwhile, Shaggy's at the front of the house and he's found Scooby cowering at the porch, like terrified. And he's like, it's all right, Scoob. Like, we'll go back to the van. Everything's fine. Okay, the guys will be fine. It's just, you know, what does Fred always say? It's never a ghost. It's never a ghost. It's never a ghost. As he's saying this, the cowboy ghost just like lurches up behind him. And it's this like old Civil War type soldier ghost rotting away standing behind him. Scooby just goes like still. And Shaggy's like, it's standing right behind me, isn't it, Scoob? And he turns around and there's the ghost. And the chase scene ensues where they bolt into the house to run away from the ghost. And in doing so, they just like start knocking all the doors around and all this kind of stuff. And it's there that Velma realizes that one of the bookshelves that they've knocked, like ran past again, has righted itself and then dropped back down. And she realizes it's on like a pulley that's a tripwire. And then they realize the doors are also mechanical and they discover that the whole thing is a fake. And eventually they catch the ghost, they unmask him, and as they pull off the mask and like the cops arrive, it's like some old dude being like, I would have got away with it too. And we freeze on the photograph and we basically get the titles, and now we go through like a montage of the group at school in their day-to-day lives, intercut with more unmaskings of monsters as their fame kind of grows. And we learn from this, and I don't really know how this would work. Again, input is welcome. That they do travel in different circles, and it's only when they're hired to work together as Mystery Inc. do they actually spend any time together. They're not friends outside of Mystery Inc.
Are you going to like explain that with flashbacks or anything? Have they had like a falling out, or were they just never friends?
I think it's a case of that whenever they need to solve a mystery, they work together because they do. And maybe you can explain it in like episode 4. There's a flashback of maybe they used to be friends in like elementary school middle school, and then they've drifted apart. And so they still work together as Mystery Inc., but they're going in different directions.
Well, they are startlingly different people. Like,
yes.
Like, Fred and Daphne may be running the, but like, Velma is a big old nerd and Shaggy's
a lesbian.
Exactly. And Shaggy's a wastoid. So, like, it's just, kind of makes sense that they wouldn't know each other socially.
Is it easier to do that if they've finished school?
Well, I was going to do that, but I was basically going to have it is that maybe they were friends early on, but now they've drifted apart because Fred's on the football team and it's all about him being good at football so he can get a scholarship to go to college. Daphne's like some kind of valedictorian girl, class president kind of thing, and so she's focusing on that. Velma's in the science and math club and Shaggy's just in a really terrible band, I reckon, and you know, plays like Dungeons and Dragons a lot. So maybe Shaggy is still doing the things that they used to do and they've all like grown up a bit.
They're
seniors now and it's about the future, and so they have drifted apart. So again, whether you show that in flashback episodes or it's just obvious, like they drive the van together to school and they all just walk in different directions.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. You probably don't need flashbacks. You just do it.
Yeah,
you
just
can,
do it
that.
Anyway, so we do get this kind of this idea that they're in different directions, and maybe Shaggy's the one who's like, we'll go up to Fred and be like, hey Fred, and Fred's like, oh hey man, and then like someone's looking at him and he just like punches Shaggy in the chest. He's like, I'm really sorry I had to do that. Like that kind of thing. So they're not friends. And then what you do is you then see each of them in their like home lives as well, and then you'd pepper it with more and more unmasking. So it'd be like school day, and then someone, like, you know, they're working in their respective things, and like Velma walks up to Daphne and like hands her a note, and then they meet in like the girls' toilets, and she's like, so apparently there's a ghost down by the pier. All right, we'll meet there after this. So it's like clandestine stuff. They uncover the ghost, pull it off, and Bob Odenkirk, who's the mayor, would kind of just be like, basically he'd just be the same character he is in Fargo season 1, where he just would be like, oh, what are you – kid's doing? Oh, guys, jeez. And so, like, you know, gives him the key to the city, and he's like, oh, man, again? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And what you'd learn from their family lives is that basically Daphne does have a crush on Fred, but she's also... it's not reciprocated because Fred's just kind of a dick. And that's the other thing too she's learning is that Fred's kind of a dickhead. Like, he's kind of a jerk. Like, yes, he puts football first, but it means he has to play up to those jerk jocks.
Yeah, yeah.
So he just behaves like that. Like, he treats them all really terribly. And she's like, and that's not the Fred that I always had a crush on. So maybe she's moving on from that. Maybe we address the fact that Velma is possibly gay, which she is. But that whole thing is that maybe she has a relationship with someone at school, but she's got to keep it secret.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the 70s America.
Yep.
And just for something different, Shaggy's real name is Norval Rogers, which implies that he has, in my head, rich, strict military parents. So his dad was like a naval officer, and he has to call him sir or commander or something like that and salute, and they treat him like a cadet. And they kind of emotionally abuse him.
Mm.
So again, this is a gritty reboot hilarious show. Yep. So yeah, so you're learning all these things throughout the series as well, but particularly in that first episode, you would get a view of that. And then maybe at the school... we want to thank, you know, Mr. Inc. And they have to get up in front of the school and they're all like, oh, we don't do this anymore kind of thing. So you see that the tensions are there. And the only friend that Shaggy's got is a dog. So that's cool. The dog doesn't get to go to school either because that's fucking
that's
dumb.
Just nobody's letting that dog there.
Anyway, so as it goes on, they keep debunking mysteries. And then after they do one, Fred can be like, all right, you know, that was really good, guys. But I think it's time we start focusing on, you know, the next part. We can't be Mr. Inc. forever.
Yeah.
Shaggy's like, why not? It's like, because, you know, I want to play college football. I want to get out of this town. And what we'd probably learn in a later episode is that the reason Fred's so, like, I need to play football is that his entire family are just, like, deadbeat fuckheads.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, his dad's, an alcoholic NAM veteran. NAM would have happened by now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
depends when.
Depends when. Maybe Korea? Was the 50s one Korea?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to say yes. One. I want to say the MASH one. Right,
he's lived MASH.
He's lived MASH. He's Radar from MASH. Fred's dad is Radar. Radar Jones. But so his family, he wants to get out of town. The only way for him to do that is he's not smart enough to get good grades. There's no such thing as traps at like to get you to college. It needs to be through football. So he has to be good enough at football so that he can get a scholarship so he can get out of the town. Daphne's a similar thing, but hers are her own standards. She wants to be like the first female member of Congress because this is the 70s and there were no women in Congress. So that kind of thing. So they've all got their own little arcs. Anyway, at the end of the episode, it would be kind of like, right, they all agree that they're going to move on and that's it. They're done. There hasn't been any mysteries for a while. And there's no more Mr. Inc. The episode would end with like a bunch of teenagers like making out by down by like the creek or the river. And then they would be attacked and chased by some kind of swamp monster like a creature from the Black Lagoon or a giant frog or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no. Yeah, mystery solving days aren't over yet, Mr. Inc. So before you'd reveal the swamp monster, maybe like in the middle of the episode, we would meet two government agents, right?
Okay.
Just investigating like a supermarket guy who's like, I got robbed by an alien. So think like Men in Black style agents, played by Adam Scott and Donald Glover.
Okay.
So one of them's called, this is really lame, but I've decided it's a good enough reference. So one of them's Special Agent Hannah and one of them's Special Agent Barbara. Hannah Barbera, yeah, you know, close enough. Anyway, so you meet them and they're kind of bantering thing and they work for a government organization and it's basically, but most of the time they're like, you know, bantering about like milkshakes. It's like they come out of like a diner and it's like blown up.
Yeah.
And Adam Scott's like drinking a vanilla milkshake and Don Glover's like, what are you doing? You can't have that's just milk. No, it's vanilla. It's just milk. You should have just got a carton of milk. It's got vanilla in it. Vanilla doesn't even have a taste. That's why it's called, they compare things to vanilla. Like that's so vanilla means it's really boring. And so that kind of great banter. Anyway, next couple of episodes we'd get the gang would be forced to start potentially investigating because the rumors are going around the school. These kids were attacked by a swamp monster. Shaggy hears about it. He's like, we should investigate this. And Velma's like, yeah, no, you're right. But Fred's like, no, I can't miss any more games. I can't miss any more training. The coach is already writing me for missing games to hunt monsters. I need to, you know, do this. And Daphne's like, I'm applying for a whole bunch of different colleges. I do not have time right now to be doing this. So it kind of there's like a bit of a fight amongst the group and it falls to Velma and Shaggy and Scooby who are forced to investigate solo. So they do some research and collect enough evidence to try to get the team on the case. So they'd be like interviewing the kids who ran away from the monster, but they just don't get anything concrete. And most of the kids just make fun of them because, oh, you're the dickheads from Mr. Inc. Because I imagine that wouldn't be a cool thing.
No.
Like being a member of Mr. Inc. wouldn't be cool. Maybe there's like a thing where it's like they don't want to talk to Velma because they're like, oh, she's a dyke. We're not talking to her. They're also Australian. but again, they're still investigating. And then you get maybe a run-in where Shaggy runs into his dad. And his dad's like, what are you doing dressed like that? And he's like, sorry, sir. Yes, sir. I'll be home. And Velma's like, what was all that about? He's like, nothing. Don't. You just see that some of the teenage insecurities and lives that they have start to interfere with their work. Finally, the last interview they have is they're like, there's got to be someone who would know about the Swamp Monster. And Shaggy's like, well, there's Old Man Johnson. Did I say Old Man Johnson last time?
Yeah.
Cool, because I originally called him Old Man Rogers and then realized that that's Shaggy's surname and needed to change it because otherwise they're related.
I just heard Old Man.
Old Man Jenkins, Old Man Murray. Sometimes he
Old
was.
Man Jenkins. Let's call him Old Man Jenkins.
Yeah, all right.
He's played by Richard Jenkins now.
Still cranky, though, right?
No, it's Bill Murray.
Yeah.
So they go to Old Man Jenkins' place, who lives near the swamp and has always talked rumors of, like, there are things, there's a government facility and there are creatures in the swamp and it's evil and dangerous and stay away. So they interview him and it's just a lot of crazy old man bullshit. And it's like, oh, there goes Old Man Jenkins again. Anyway, they decide, look, we'll stake out the area, see if anyone turns up tonight. And while they're staking out, Shang and Scooby are like, man, we're really hungry. I was like, we'll go to the diner, get something to eat and bring it back. I'm hungry too. I'll stay here. And of course, as it always happens in the show, Shaggy and Scooby walk away from the group and they run into the swamp monster. Velma didn't see this. And he's like, there's nothing out there. Like, basically they'd be walking along the creek and they just see him like loom out of the water and come after them. And they're like, oh my God, run away. This is terrifying. And Velma's like, why do you have that dog? Like, is it a big guard dog? It's like, no, but he's a bigger scaredy cat than I am. And I'm a massive scaredy cat. But Velma's not so sure because she hasn't seen it. So they're like, we should tell the others and then continue our investigation. We can't dive into this, you know. And then what you do is you'd have a beat at the end of, so maybe this is like the end of episode 2 or episode 3. The beat would then be that a local cop is now attacked and dragged into the water by the monster.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you start getting more people having interactions with this thing. So it's getting bigger and bigger and they can't sort of ignore it.
Is it the kind of thing where like the previous monsters that they unmasked, like the crimes, so to speak, were just like... Like, is this the first time a monster's murdered someone?
Well, yeah, it's the first time people have actually gone missing.
Yeah, like, this is like an escalation of
So the original, like, the haunted house thing, it'll be like, you know, oh, he didn't want the real estate agents to sell his old house.
Yeah,
so it was all, in the past, all, like, fake stuff, basically.
Yeah, all fake stuff and all easily explained, like, you know, someone was haunting the school so they could steal tests to get ahead or something. Sure. Something lame
like
that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, in Shaggy's head, is he thinking, this is another one of those occasions where it's just fake?
Well, no, I think Shaggy always goes into them thinking they're real.
Okay, yeah.
And everyone else is like, no, they're always fake. Shaggy's like, no, I saw it. And that's because Shaggy does always think it's real.
Yeah.
Shaggy's a believer. But I think, yeah, he would think it's real. Velma's more like, we need more evidence, but something is going on. People are going missing. And they want to try to talk to Fred about it, but he won't. And he's like, no, get out of here. And like at training, people are, oh, hey, hanging out with your loser friends, you lesbian and the...
Wastoid
and his dumb dog. So despite the fact that there's now more stuff going on, they still can't get the team to work together. But the cop's disappearance actually starts an investigation in the town. Like it's a high profile thing. The sheriff, probably the deputy from Banshee, plays the sheriff. What's his name? Not Hood, the other bloke.
Fuck.
Who wants the job? The bald guy.
Oh yeah. Brock. Fuck, he's good.
He's the sheriff.
Yeah.
Watch Banshee, Jackson.
Alright, I'll get on it.
And he's like, well, one of my men is missing and there's two kids who went missing as well. This is getting out of control.
Yep.
Yeah. He talks like this for some reason. He's never talked like that in the show. And the mayor's like, we need to get on this. And so you get the Mystery Inc. guys being like, we'll intervene and we'll help. But while that's going on, Agent Hannah and Barbara are at a fake crop circle case. Like they're investigating a bunch of crop circles that they've decided to fake. One of them's reading the newspaper. He's like, hey, look at this. Guy goes missing in a small town. Fish monster involved. You love fish people. It's like, I don't love fish people, okay? That was like two times where fish people have been involved. Adam Scott would be the one defending the fish people.
I think so.
Yeah.
And me on the farm was like, wait, you can't go. What about my crop circles? And like Donald Glover turns like, Dennis, we know you did it yourself. We could see the combine harvester over there. And you also have a map that says crop circle designs in the driver's seat. Dennis is like, oh, man. Oh, damn it. You know, maybe this will be something real. We'll finally get something that'll actually prove our organization's worth. So they decide they're going to drive to this town, which I haven't named. Does Scooby-Doo's town have a name or do they just travel over?
Coolsville.
Is it actually?
It is. It is called Coolsville. Coolsville, USA.
Coolsville. So, I mean, you could use Coolsville or come up with a better name.
No.
That's
Coolsville.
The name of your show.
Coolsville.
Coolsville's the name of the show. Yeah.
Mystery Inc.'s better.
You sure? Yes, Coolsville's so good. The first episode's called Welcome to Coolsville.
Welcome to Coolsville, yeah.
Yes.
Uncoolsville. Oh. So you kind of get these. They're the official agents investigating, because I said in a newspaper, the town's got the police investigating it and Mr. Inc. kind of doing their own thing, but they're still not quite working as a team. But before we get into that, we're just going to have a quick break.
Hey everyone, sorry to interrupt, but I just want to tell you guys very quickly about our sponsor, DollarShaveClub.com. If shaving is a pain in the neck because you keep cutting it with inferior razors, well, do I have the solution for you that'll make your life so much easier and neck cut free. As a bearded man, although a neatly trimmed and stylish bearded man, I know the importance of a quality shave, but quality can be expensive. Since joining DollarShaveClub.com, I don't need to choose between price and quality to get an amazing shave anymore. DollarShaveClub.com is a no-brainer for an incredible shave delivered right to your door. That's right, they deliver straight to your home for less than what I used to pay. No more going to the store dealing with the hassle of that since joining the club. So what are you waiting for? Just go to DollarShaveClub.com and pick up a razor that works for you from their lineup of amazing blades. That's all there is to it. I get a first-class shave with my executive razor because I deserve it. And when I use it with their Dr. Carver's shave butter, the blade just gently glides for the smoothest shave imaginable. So, now's your chance to get why over 3 million members like me love Dollar Shave Club. Right now, you can get your first month of the club for as little as $5. After that, it's just a few bucks a month. Dollar Shave Club is so confident in the quality and value of all their products, there's no long-term commitment or any hidden fees. There's no reason not to join. Get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/moviemate. That's dollarshaveclub.com/moviemate. That's MOVIEMAINT. Now, back to the show.
So Fred and Daphne agreed to come back and help you because you probably need like something bigger to happen. Like one of Fred's like football teammates goes missing or is killed or something.
Well, there you go. That could be the, unless I've already done that. No. So that's what I think is that maybe that's what drives it is one of the football, maybe the coach gets kidnapped.
The coach,
And Fred's like, all right, I can get out of football practice because the coach being kidnapped. So let's work together.
You can even have that kind of thing where all of those, you know, jocks on the football team are like, do something.
Yeah, maybe actually, that's it. They go to him, like, really you cool. need to do something, and he walks in. And
he's like, but that's go, like, we don't. That's all gone.
Yeah.
You that's can cool. do it, so
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
So what's Daphne's like reason though?
I guess Daphne's reason would be that maybe it's like, oh, here you go. So she gets her college applications get knocked back, and it's like, you didn't write us an essay. She's like, if I solved this mystery, I could write about an actual mystery this time instead of just a dickhead in a costume. She's like, this is a big national case. There's more media arriving in town. It's getting a high profile. And the mayor's like, you know, freaking out. So maybe that's her angle. Yeah. I haven't really thought of her angle. I just assume she'd want to come
back to
the fold.
That could work. Like for those college applications, you have to write like an essay about yourself, something extraordinary or something. Maybe that gets knocked back because she's been hiding. She doesn't want to like be like, oh, I was in Mystery Inc.
Yeah.
Now she thinks, oh, I'll solve this. I'll do that. I'll get into college.
Yeah. She could like mention it offhand, like around Shaggy. Shaggy's like, why don't you write about Mr. Inc.
Or should she keep it to herself and then that's a conflict later because they're like, oh, you're just in it for yourself.
That's nice. Yeah, that's nice.
Cool.
This is what I mean. Because it's a TV show, I built a spine, but I need more.
Yeah. Do the cops, like when Mr. Inc. start investigating, are the cops like, who are you? Please don't.
I think, are children, get out of here. I think maybe the cop who got kidnapped might be a deputy that is, he's the deputy who appears at all the unmaskings and he kind of likes Mr. Inc. Whereas Sheriff Brock isn't a fan of Mystery Inc. So as soon as that deputy's kidnapped, he's like, well, I don't want anything to do with you. So they're kind of doing it thing with it.
Because you kind of would be. If you were the cops, you'd be like, like especially if the mayor is like, you're like, these are just children. That's our job. Like, what the hell?
Is it too cliche to have one of the kids' parents be like a cop or something like that? And well, so there's a little bit of leeway
there. Maybe Velma's dad is a cop on the force.
Or her dad's Sheriff Brock or...
Hey, that's good.
Could be.
That's good. And he's like, Velma, this is not what you shouldn't be doing. This. You need to study for science and not be a lesbian anymore.
That's right. So you can keep having them sort of be there and the cops are kind of like, instead of just completely like cracking the shits and getting them in trouble, her dad's just kind of like, just stop doing this. And then eventually he'll break at some point in the season.
You could even have conflict with the sheriff and the rest of his deputies where he's like, you should have nipped this in the bud such a long time ago, but because it's your daughter, you're not.
Yeah, they like,
that's trespassing.
They arrest the gang for trespassing in the government facility because they know that's where the sightings have been. And he lets them go. And they're like, why did you let him go? He's like, it's my daughter. They're like, well, your daughter's in, you know, if we never find that deputy and the three kids who've gone missing and the coach, you know, that kind of thing.
Let's have Brock lose his job at some point in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Fuck yeah. I like this. We're cooking with gas, guys. Basically, though, they're forced to work together eventually through a whole bunch of scenarios. And in doing so, they find a lead, they fight, see the monster, and they chase after it, and they build an elaborate trap, and Fred's in his element, and they realize that they do actually work well together when they're working well together, and they catch just a regular dude. Fred's like, I've wasted so much time on this guy. Like, how did we fall for this? So he's actually really angry.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, this is so stupid. It was just another guy in another costume. Like, it wasn't a big mystery. People are probably hiding somewhere watching us, laughing at us. And they realize that the reason there's been multiple sightings is that the three kids who originally went, like the kids who originally went missing have all been pretending to be the monster now. But Daphne points out, still doesn't explain the cop that's still missing. And the coach is still, but Fred's heard enough. He's like, no, we're going to go to the mayor. We're going to show him the hoax and everything else will be fine. Like, he's kind of done with it. When they get to the mayor, there's none of that usual fanfare. He's not stoked. He's kind of like they've just had so many instances of fake hauntings and of even if the cop's still missing, so there's still something going on, but these amateurs are dressing up as monsters and they've had so many stupid things happen and it's because of Mystery Inc., you know, I've had enough of you meddling kids getting in the way.
Yep.
And he's doing it. He's like, so I've called in the professionals and like they turn around and like the two guys are playing cards. I'm like, oh, just yeah, I'm Agent Hannah. This is Agent Barbara. She's like, you have women's names? Like, yes, Agent Protocol. It's like, so no one will guess who we really are, obviously. It makes sense to give them women's names.
Yeah. Sure, no, but superior. I just assumed it was their surname.
Yeah, me too.
Like that he was like Adam Hannah or something like that.
You know what? Maybe his name is Adam Hannah. Yeah,
because that's what agents get called.
Yeah, no, that's better. So one of them's called Christopher Hannah, and the other one is Marvin Barbara. Marv. Yeah. Anyway, so these guys are going to take over. The police are going to do it. This is where Brock can lose his job.
Cool.
Because the mayor can be like, you kept letting the kids interfere because you're gone soft on your daughter.
Yep.
You're fired. And Brock's like, oh, I'm fired. And
now he's an alcoholic or whatever.
Yeah, just a deadbeat dad.
Yep.
There's a lot of deadbeat dads now in this show.
Yep. Coolsville. It's got a lot of them.
And the new sheriff would be like one of the deputies who's like, what's the guy who plays Daryl Dixon in fucking Walking Dead? He's now the new sheriff.
Okay.
What's that actor's name? He's from Boondock Saints.
Yeah.
I don't know his name. Reedus. Norman Reedus?
Yeah, Norman Reedus.
He's in it now.
All right, cool. I'm assuming he's shady as fuck.
Oh, well, no, he's just more of he's a dick.
Okay.
Oh, no, maybe he's shady as fuck. He's shady as fuck. Oh, boy. Guys, he's shady as fuck. And basically from here, it seems that Mr. Ink is finished. So the whole team's not doing anymore. Fred decides, no, I'm done. This is all too much. The cops can investigate. I'm going to focus on football.
What episode mark are we at, sort of roughly? Towards the back end?
It'd be towards the back end.
So is this probably a good moment for Daphne to be like, no, we have to keep the team together and all kind of like, why? And then it comes out that she's... Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. She's like, no, we got to do it. And Velma can be the one who's discovered it.
Yeah.
Because she would. She's like, oh, what? So you can go to college? She's like, what?
He's boom.
Like, boom. Yeah,
cool.
And Shaggy's kind of saying, like, no, guys, like, we're Mr. Ink. We got to be Mr. Ink, you know? Yep. And then, you know, you could have like, maybe he pours his heart out a bit and he's like, you're the only people that like talk to me. My dad's an asshole. I've got friends and you guys, and they're all not doing it. And even Daphne, he's kind of like, oh, nah, it's not. I can't do that. But so she goes
for Daphne as well. You could have. She's like, we could get arrested, and then that would ruin any chance I have of like.
Especially if Velma's dad's not the sheriff.
Velma could even have go at her and be like, why don't you just lie when you write your thing? You're pretty good at that, or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Good. And then they all just part ways, and Shaggy's good. Like, yeah, he's come back. Cries.
Yeah,
and I cry.
So and then Shaggy would go along and he's going to go and apologize to old man Jenkins to be like, we couldn't do it. You know, we couldn't help you out. But basically it'd be that low point towards the back half of the series now. Maybe Velma. So maybe throughout it you have like Velma having like a clandestine relationship with another student, like a female student. And that breaks up as well because she's under all this pressure and stress. Or like her dad is now bored and he's found out and he's like, my deputy's arrested you kissing some girl behind a tree. You're not my daughter.
I think it'd be nice if she came home and her dad's like drunk or whatever and he's like just sad because he's lost his job and she comes out to him and he's kind of like, because he's at rock bottom, and then would Velma still be keen to solve the mystery? Because then her dad could kind of help. And that's her and her dad for like half an episode or an episode.
You could even do a thing where like, because their relationship surely is not great. Like that moment maybe even brings them together. Instead of separating them apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely brings them together.
That moment brings them together because they're both like.
They're like, look, let's put it all on the table. Here it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, she's an only child because her mum's dead.
Actually. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it'd be like, you know, and you can have a moment where she's like, I miss her too, dad. And they bond.
The classic, I miss her too.
Kind of nice.
Kind of like if the dad then helped her, like, look into the mystery or something.
Well, especially if Velma's like, you know, nobody else, like, the cop's still missing, you know? Every mystery came with the unmasked guy, but that cop's still missing.
The cop's still missing. The coach is still missing. Mm.
And has the mayor swept the cop thing under the rug?
No, he's handed over to the government agents.
Okay. So the cops aren't looking into the thing anymore, but maybe former Sheriff Brock is kind of like, I want to find out where... make it his friend or whatever. Yeah, I want to find out where my friend is. Yeah. And Velma's like, I'll help you.
Mm. Like Lucas Hood. Where's my friend Lucas
Hood? Do we kill Brock? Do we kill him? Is it that kind of show?
No. Oh maybe. It's pretty dark.
It's pretty dark.
Well, just see where it goes and then tell me if you agree.
That makes Velma an orphan.
Oh, that's real fucking dark. Maybe she gets adopted by old man Jenkins. or Donald Glover. but yeah, so they would maybe they bond and like instead of her coming out, because he's the cop, he would know that if she's sneaking around. So he could be like, how's hot dog water? We're not going to call her that. We're going to call her like...
I think she has a real name, but they never fucking use it. I don't know what it is.
Well, like...
Could it even be a thing where like she's always... She's never brought up with her dad because she's been terrified to bring it up.
Yeah.
But when she finally starts, so he's kind of just like, I know.
He's like, yeah.
And he's just cool with it.
Yeah, that's it. It's like...
Yeah.
This is more important.
Yeah.
Guy's missing.
Yeah.
So they start pulling their resources together. Maybe she could be like, right, I'm going to go and talk to Jenkins. So Shaggy's gone around and apologized to him. And the whole time, you know, Jenkins is like rambling about stuff. Things in the swamp, an ancient curse, buried evil, that the government building there is not what you think it is. There's more of it. Shaggy's like, oh, man, you're just killing my buzz. And he's like, sorry, old man Jenkins. And then Shaggy leaves. And as he's leaving, you just see like shapes moving through the fog towards Jenkins, like stoop on the banks of the creek. And then Velma and her dad are like, oh, my God, we got to go interview Jenkins. He used to be like a janitor at the bloody facility. He knows stuff about this town. And she's found out that there's like, maybe not just her, found like, you know, these weird kind of connections. There's evidence that there is something not right in this town. So they go to interview old man Jenkins and they get there and the house is trashed.
Yep.
Like he's gone. Mm. Something has come in and they walk through and she's like, and he was been dragged into the water. It's like, it's getting worse. So they go to the other guy. Like they go, we've got to escalate it. And Velma's like, we can't do it with just the two of us, Dad. Like we're good detectives, but I don't know how to set traps, and Daphne's really good at, like, something else.
What was Daphne's purpose in the mystery?
Well, in the film, she was good at karate.
Yeah.
but I guess, you know, she's really good at plans, Fred's good at traps, and, you know, Shaggy's good at being Shaggy.
Yep.
And so, and it's, you know, it means a lot to him and all that kind of stuff. So what it would be now is that Fred doesn't probably come back to the table straight away. He's like, no, I've still got to focus on football. Daphne probably doesn't come to the table straight away, but it would eventually, like, turn up. And like save them at a moment when they're doing this investigation. Cool. But basically, they now have to do their own investigation, like seriously start digging up dirt in the town, like breaking into the mayor's office, getting up old maps and plans and stuff. And they're doing it all carefully to avoid detection from the agents and the mayor and the cops and Sheriff Reedus. Now, the agents in this are just, like we've seen season one of Fargo, they're literally key and peers.
Yeah, they
are not good at their jobs. Yeah. Like they're way too busy discussing like hamburger etiquette and like cool music. And, like, Adam Scott's taste in music would be, like, really white.
Yeah.
Or, like, he'd listen to, like, funky music and, like, start dancing and be like, what are you doing? Don't dance like that. Yep. That's how I dance. You don't dance like that. It's like, I'm sorry. You know, so it's all that nice banter. But basically now you've got these parallel investigations and they're trying to get away. And then the disappearances keep happening. Potentially one of Mystery Inc. gets abducted.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I was thinking maybe Velma uncovers something like huge and is going back to her dad to be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then like you just see her like look up and there's just like this thing in front of her. She just drops the evidence and is like taken away potentially. Yeah. If we like that idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
That should.
Or should it be her dad?
Well, they need a massive, because we've already had them come back together earlier in the season.
Yep.
And it needed something like the football coach guy missing. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. It needs to be something huge. So yeah, maybe it needs to be Velma's missing. And that brings them back together. Or maybe her dad goes missing and she's like crying. It's like, it's my dad. I need your help, guys.
You could even, if Shaggy went missing, he's like the least useful member. So it's like there's a sort of, I don't know, that's a kind of thing that doesn't normally happen to like Mystery Inc. It's kind of like...
And he's the linchpin.
Yeah.
He's also the one who's sort of tried to be like the emotional center of the team and bring everyone together and no one's ever listened to him. But now that he's gone, maybe they'll all be like, shit, we need to help our friend.
No, that's it. Yeah. I like that. Cool. Right. I was going to have it Velma, but I think Shaggy's better if he's the... Because then what you have is you have like Fred's doing football practice and Scooby comes to the field. He's like, what are you doing here, you dumb dog? And the dog's like,
you know what would be a great scene too, after that happens? If it's like, how are we going to get there or whatever? And it's like, because our vehicle, they took our van. It's been impounded. And then Sheriff Brock's like, I got it covered. And he breaks into the police station, steals the van.
Oh, that's, done. Cool. Done. And that Scooby brings them all together to be like, Shaggy's gone. Mm. And Velma's like, I sent him off to go to the library. Because maybe that's it. She's working on something else. And so then Shaggy's gone off to find some records at the library. And he found something like a really fucking evil looking occult motherfucking book in the library. And he's like,
Zoinks.
Zoinks.
Is Shaggy, I don't know the character well enough, is he clever enough to like have left a clue for them even though he's been kidnapped? So they get there, they find
out.
No, like,
but he's stupid enough to have dropped something. Okay.
Like the book.
Yeah.
Or he's dropped like the catalog card that he was looking for in the library. Or they go to the library like, what was Shaggy looking for in the library? She's like, oh, he went down in that section in the town records. And then, you know, through the mystery, they work out what he was looking into.
Yeah. Look for the tomato sauce stain on that particular book. That's, like he's eating at the time.
Oh, my God, no, that's it. Like, they follow, like, a trail of, like, it's bologna. It's, like, falling out of a sandwich he was eating. Anyway, so basically, once they do enough research, they realize that everything that Old Man Jenkins was saying was true. There is not a government, a clandestine society existing in the town, like a cult, basically. Mm-hmm. A creepy frogman, underwater deity, Lovecraftian secret society in Coolsville. The Coolsville Cthulhu cult. That'll be the name of the episode because it's going to be like, kook for a spook in the Coolsville's kooky Cthulhu cult. Spooks. Good. Anyway, so Fred's back on board because Shag is missing. They're all united. They get the van back. Thank you, Sean. But now the problem is that they've got to find out where this organization is because they're taking people back for something. So basically reading through some of the old bits and pieces, they work out that there is some kind of ritual that takes place where the worshippers are collecting people to open a portal and bring one of the old ones, literally like a Lovecraftian fucking eldritch abomination, into this realm to destroy it. So it's like, monsters are real. They're also terrifying. We're all going to die. We're 16. So they now have the proof that monsters are real. But what they've got to do is they've got to try to get agents away because the agents are just in the way. So you get like maybe Scooby and Fred work together to distract the agents while Daphne and Velma like try to work out where the cult are hiding.
With a trap or something, right?
Yeah. A trap. Yeah. So they trap the agents or the trap fails because just fails for some, I don't know. Maybe the agents get out or the agents are following them. And then what would happen is one of the agents would go missing. So maybe like they're like scoping at the kids and the distraction. And then it's like just Don Glover. He's like, where's my mate? Yeah. Where's Christopher Hanna? He's Marv. I'm Marv. Where's my mate Chris? You now, one of the agents has been captured and it all sort of builds and builds to this huge panic. And they finally got the evidence they need and they need the mayor's help. So they go in to like present their findings to the mayor. And there's Agent Chris Hanna and the coach.
Oh.
And the deputy who went missing. And they're all like, you know, here's but not Shaggy. All the missing people are back. And the mayor's like, again, you guys, I told you, Brock, you're double fired. But like, Redis arrests them. Yep. Like, puts them in jail now. It's dark, it's bleak, it's done. And they're like, but that doesn't make any sense. And Barbara's like, oh man, it's good you're back, I guess. What happened? He's like, oh. So what the agent would do here is he's like, it's Mystery Inc. They've tried to ratchet up the tension so that they can cash in on it. Maybe this is where the Daphne reveal happens. Mm. That no, we need to be on their side here. Basically, we know it's fake.
Yeah.
We know this is a ruse. We know that something's happened with Agent Hanna, and you would reveal it to the audience by like, when like Barbara's doing something, Hanna's eyes look in different directions, or he like blinks sideways, or something is that he's been like body swapped, body morphed kind of thing. And basically the frog people
give him a frog tongue.
Yeah, there you go. It flies and like they're just like, what the fuck? Yeah. So the frog people have like assumed the identities of the missing people and they need to try to convince Redis that that's the case somehow. So the way they do it is Shaggy comes back. They're like, oh, we found Shaggy. It's like, you see, your friend's fine. Like, that's not our friend. Yeah, it is your friend. It's like, oh, yeah, no, it's not. Buy him a sandwich or something absurd like that. And the guy like eats the sandwich, just falls out of his mouth.
Yeah.
He's like, this is a good bologna sandwich. And Fred can be like, is it your favorite bologna sandwich? He's like, yep, bologna is my favorite sandwich. I didn't put any mayonnaise on that. He's like, that's okay. It's like, no, it's not. the real Shaggy always likes mayonnaise. Something dumb like that. So they would bust out, or the new sheriff would be like, oh my God, even though I'm dodgy, I actually have no idea how to handle the situation. It's like a full moon. And they would find their way to the cult. And basically it becomes about the climactic final battle. How did Mystery Inc. take down a bunch of Lovecraftian frog people who are like the town? And, you know, maybe the reveal could be that the mayor's in on it as well, like Bob Odenkirk. It would actually be really nice if, as a nice twist, if Bob Odenkirk was like the high priest.
Yeah.
Because you've seen him as such a bumbling buffoon the whole way through.
Mm.
And so he's the one who, like, fired Jenkins.
Plus the fact that he's always been like, yeah, Mr. Inc., it's great. Because, like, he's like, he knows that they're kind of staying away from the real problem.
The real problem,
there's a ghost over here. Check that shit out. Oh, there's a ghost down at the pier. None by the agents, the
nothing
government
by the,
headquarters.
Nothing by the government headquarters.
That's a dry area, ghost-wise. But
effectively now the team would have to work together and you'd have, like, they'd find the real missing people in, like, cocoons. Similar to, like, aliens.
Yep.
Of course, they wouldn't, like, chest burst. They're just in cocoons asleep. They're like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, like pod people.
Be cool to have them underwater somehow.
Yeah.
Like frogs. Oh, yeah. Like upside down underwater in, like, a big lake is just a cool scene. Like pods in the side of the wall.
Yes.
Like spooky shit.
Like a plant. Upside down asleep with their hands crossed over their chest.
So they, you know, free Shaggy. Oh, no, that's good. So they're free Shaggy, and then they basically gonna be like, the ritual, and Shaggy's like, the ritual's starting, it's full moon, it's this date, it's happening right now, you have to go, you got to stop them. And so they go into the bunker and there's all these people in like hoods and like that's the reveal, the mayor's like doing some creepy worship and they've got like the frog people are like standing guard, these like weird amphibious creatures. And then maybe some of the townspeople are like blinking sideways, so you realize that, oh, the townspeople are progressively being replaced with frog people. It's really full on. And then it'd be like some ceremony and the doorway would start to open. And I like the fact that like Shaggy or Daphne or one of the members of Mystery Inc. gazes into the void and it gazes back and they're just like horrifically broken. Just like staring in at some like horrific creature that the mind is not capable of processing. But basically what they would end up doing is they'd like feed the mayor, who like bursts out of his skin and is revealed to be like this great, he's been the main frog monster the whole time. Because a lot of the Eldritch abominations are frog people.
Yeah, it's true.
Feeds them into the thing and it like shuts the door and then all the cocoons like are broken free and all the townspeople come back and all the frog people like melt into goo and everyone's just kind of standing there and like agents Hannah and Barbara like make out and like, oh my God, I missed you so much. It's like, oh, love. And, you know, Velma's girlfriend can go missing too and she saves her. And it's kind of like, okay, Daphne and Fred, like, I guess, are together in a way. Maybe she kisses Fred or something. Everyone's like happily together. Shaggy's real fucked up though because he saw the voice.
Yeah, he saw the voice.
Maybe what had happened is he comes back and like he's like stands up to his dad.
Yeah.
Punches his dad in the head. He's like, nothing matters, Dad. I've seen the boy.
We are insignificant, Dad. Could you have a scene where, I don't know how you do this, but I like the idea of them peeling Bob Odenkirk's face off.
Yes, that would be it.
Yeah.
Well, he would peel his own face
off. Yeah, yeah. That's removing the mask, but this time the mask is just
he stands up there and they're like, you know, you can't get away with this, Bob. What about the people that you're going to hurt? And he's like, People? I'm not people. It's like, you know, you're elected to represent the people of this town and you're not doing your job. Like Daphne could be like,
yeah,
you know, you're not doing your job. And he's just like, my job? I'm here to destroy everything. I'm not the mayor. I'm the servant of the ancient ones. And he just like pulls off, he unmasks himself. That would actually be real. And then all the other fake people unmask themselves to reveal that they're these hideous creatures. Nice. Someone at one point would be like, oh, yes. What are you going to do? You meddling kids and your damn dog. And like Fred would be like, we're Mystery Inc., motherfucker. And then it would be on.
Scooby can bark or
Scooby
something?
Scooby can bark like, rawr, 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 rawr. You're like, what? You could talk? I was going to toy with the fact that Scooby was a person who gets turned into a dog at some point. And that's the origin of, but then that was a different film.
Yeah, that's
altogether.
A different.
Anyway, so they save the day, but they're all kind of bonded over the shared trauma of it. And the sting at the end of it for the next sort of
season
would be that like agents Hannah and Barbara were like, if we need you, you guys are pretty good. Give us a call. And kind of like X-Files themselves away. So it'd be like, you would then, at the end of the episode, it'd go back to that dude on the farm.
Yeah, yeah.
Doing his crop circles.
Yeah.
And like actual aliens arrive.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I was thinking you could have some good banter where they're like, fuck, if that was real, like what else have we just missed that was real that we thought was, fuck.
And then Dennis is just, it's just because Dennis being like, didn't like my crop circles, I remember maps and, oh, they're back. And like alien spaceship planes in his backyard. That'd probably be the next point. And basically what you'd have is that they're friends now. You'd see them at school. And while they still move in different circles, they like have lunch together or something.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Yeah, so like if the first scene or one of the early scenes in the first episode is the van arriving at school and they get out and go separate ways, but this time it comes and they all walk in together or something like that.
Yeah.
Scooby, what are you doing at school, mate? Yeah. You can't learn about history.
Fuck, why not have the, you know, people have like support dogs for emotional trauma. They're like, Shaggy's like, I am disturbed and can this dog be, and they're like, yeah, you can bring it to school.
See, because actually, yeah, that's cool. That's pretty good.
See, what I was going to say was if you don't do, so the option I had for season two was either aliens, because that's a big thing, and either have it, I just want to do like a creepy fucking Lovecraft story with Scooby-Doo. But either it's aliens and you've got like your two agents being like, aliens are real. We've got to get the Scooby gang, the mystery gang to come and help us. Or what you could do is like another one is that Shaggy like saw something.
Ah, yeah.
And he's like, I've seen it. This isn't the only gateway.
Cool.
Mm. Well, you like could do it, you know, like you sow those seeds where like, I don't know, you know, like somebody sees into the void and they get like an after image on their mind.
Yeah.
Something like that you're like, what the fuck was that Shaggy saw? And then slowly you're like, he's like, I've seen all the gates. I know where everything is.
Wait, there are more of them. And then the second season is basically like aliens. They're going around to kill all the Lovecraft gateways.
But, you know, the agents at the end are like, oh, you kids did a really good job. We want to help you out. And then it's like they give them their own headquarters or something in town. That'd like they deck them out with some equipment or whatever.
Oh, they give them a better van.
Van gets destroyed in the end and they
get
a new
van.
It's got all high tech shit in the back of it or whatever. Yeah.
They get a new van.
Yeah.
It's like, look at this. It makes vanilla milkshakes. Yeah.
They could even be like, what are we going to need all this stuff for? And then Shaggy could just like, off the cuff, just say some remark about what he saw in the void or something.
And they're all like, what? He goes, so they're standing there. It's like, you know, it's got, oh, cool. But they put up a map of America and be like, you know, this is the headquarters here. And Shaggy walks up and he's like, hang on a minute. And he starts drawing lines and like, Shaggy, what are you doing? And he stands back, there's like a pentagram on the map and he's like, we're here. There are more gates.
here, and here. And they're all like, what the fuck? Credits or something.
That's
like
a good moment for like a Jinkies or something.
And then
like,
just as it's zooming in, you just have Velma look at it and just go, fucking Jinkies. Scooby-Dooby-Dooby-Dooby-Dooby. So yeah, so that's my Scooby-Doo pitch.
Love it.
As I said, I did have a skeleton and I needed support. So thank you for providing that support. It was basically, I don't know. So pitching a TV show, I was like, I'm not going to just write out the whole pitch because it's far too
long,
much to cover.
Yeah.
Just do the spine of it and then.
Yeah. So we've got the basic
beats. The arcs, you know.
Yeah. And of course you'd have all the character arcs. So the things like Daphne would decide this mission, you know, I'm saving humanity. It's a better mission than going to college. Velma's kind of now openly gay to her dad.
Yeah. Happy or even with herself. Like with Daphne, if there's a college sort of near the town, but it's a bit of it's a lesser one than the cool one she wanted to go to.
Yeah.
But she just accepts it because she wants to be close to the team to keep helping, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd have her and Fred making out at the end.
So maybe
hold
not.
That tension off until the next season or something.
Well, I mean, I like the idea of Fred being a sexless idiot.
Yeah, yeah. That's always good.
I mean, you know what would be great though is if you have Daphne ends up Shaggy instead.
Mm, okay.
As the series progresses, they end up together, and Fred's like, "Yeah, I'm asexual."
Chad's like, "Yeah, that's fine. You enjoy. I'm just not interested."
Yeah, I'm just not interested.
He just says it all the time.
Yeah. No, I'm asexual. I'm really not interested.
And they're like, "We were talking about what to get for dinner, Fred. Like, what the fuck?"
It's like that. Yeah, I'm vegan and asexual. Sheriff Brock would become the mayor.
Oh yeah,
cool.
He'd be. Reedus would stay mayor. I say sheriff and he'd become
Brock would become mayor. Yeah, cool.
And old man Jenkins would become expert of like shit. Spooky
does,
shit.
So does this the show, is it no longer confined to Coolsville? So the second season is sort of almost more of a road trip.
Correct,
style?
which would be similar to what the show was, which is where they travel outside of Coolsville to investigate mysterious happenings. So basically they're on the trail of the Lovecraftian cult and the giant ancient ones and the frog people. But what would happen is, I guess, maybe with when the gateway opened, a whole bunch of weird shit came through.
Yeah. So or you could like, be like these gates have been open and who knows like how long they've been open for.
Would any of season two even need to be in Coolsville? Or is this kind of like, nah, we've done with that. Now let's get on the road. And we give character closure to Mayor Brock and, I mean, who else is there? Hot Dog Water's probably still there.
Yeah.
Oh, I reckon she could, it's got to be just the four of them, doesn't
they can
it?
Skype. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's the 70s.
Yeah.
Damn it. So they can't
Skype, mate. Because, even if it's aliens and, like, the reason that the gateways have been able to be opened is because when, like, it's I want it to be, like, full-on 70s government conspiracy. So when they went to the moon, they actually found a key on the dark side of the moon that allowed beings to travel through the dimensions. And
like an old Stargate, basically.
Yeah. It's like, you know. I thought no one ever sees Buzz Aldrin in public again.
I thought you were going to kill Agents Hannah and Barbara. But I'm glad you kept them around because I really like them.
Yeah, they'll show up again.
Yeah.
Me too, yeah.
Being, like, I reckon when you
I
see
love
them again.
That you thought their first names were Hannah and Barbara.
I just don't know. I thought that they were given, like, call signs. So, like, okay, J and K in Men in Black, they just get given women's names because it'd be impossible to work out who they really are.
Actually, that's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you meet their boss, Agent Charlotte, who's like...
yeah. Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. I was like, need an old man. Yeah.
Did Bill Murray survive?
Oh, yeah, no, they survive him, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right,
cool. They bring him back, and maybe he's like an expert for them. Like they like call him up when they have...
He's like their consultant.
He's like their consultant on weird shit. Because he would have experience dealing with this, because he's like, I cleaned up a lot of sludge
at
that factory.
Cool.
But yeah, so it would now be a road trip kind of traveling on the road.
Is it always going to be like frog monsters, or are we going to be like, it's scarecrow people, or today it's just a full-on ghost? What's the...
I think what would... In my head, you could have a myriad of things... Because what would happen is, I guess, the gate would open and all sorts of things would come through into our reality. And it was a bit like, spoiler alert for you, for Stranger Things 2, but I guess you know that there's been an escalation because...
Sure.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't open a portal to another dimension and not expect shit to come through.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So
there's like more shit than the... It's not just the one frog cult and the one thing. And you know, maybe you'd be do like a... You could do like a nice, like, Eye of Sauron... A Voldemort thing with Shaggy where he hears the voice of the ancient one, like talking to him in his dreams, and he becomes like a seer.
Then you can do stuff with the dog talking, like kind of Son of Sam stuff.
Yes. Oh my
god. Scooby's like, kill them.
Rule them, Shaggy.
Fuck, imagine if instead of Shaggy.
Let their throats out.
instead of Shaggy looking into the void, you had Scooby looking into the void.
And that's how he knows to talk.
The dog.
Actually, yeah. So I was thinking it'd be cool if you had him look in the void at the start, and then that's why Scooby can't speak anymore, because he's just like fucking stunned.
Well, no, just because he's a normal dog, Sean.
But maybe, maybe he looks in the void and now he can speak.
That's an option. Maybe he gets possessed. Like
there should be like a one-off episode where he does speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Not in the first season.
No,
you're doing like the second season where like...
Your like approach to this is interesting, because most shows would kind of do like a mystery... villain of the week in the first season and then expand with longer arcs in like season two onwards, but you've just kind of sort of jumped straight in, which I like.
Because my thing is, I imagine it'd be on Netflix and it'd be 8 to 10 episodes.
So you'd watch them sort of in a binge.
If it was going to be like a 20 episode season on like a different network, then you'd do Monster of the Week. You'd drag out those unmaskings at the early part, but you'd trick all the the frog people through it.
Yeah,
I care so much for the monster of the week structure. So I like what you've done with it.
Because then you can have that structure a bit when they go on the road.
Yeah. I reckon like season two, you probably wouldn't have a season-long arc of just one monster. Like I reckon you'd almost break it down. Like every three episodes, there's like a new threat or something. And maybe it all like adds up to, you know, in the end, but I don't know.
Because it could be that, you know, Shaggy finds the map and on the way there, they run into agents Hannah and Barbara and they're like, there's something going on here. We need your help.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, why do you need help? Aren't you like agents for this? It's like, we are theoretical agents. We have never dealt with any of this in real life. You closed a temporal gateway to another dimension. You are so much more qualified than we are. Maybe they retire. maybe that's the case. So maybe it is like scarecrow people because that sounds terrifying.
I just remember that's one of the like the classic episodes. But yeah, like I don't know how you... I guess if it's like scarecrow people coming, it's harder to hide, I guess is what I mean.
Well, no. So maybe when they get to like a, like one of the gateways to close it, something's come out and given all the scarecrows like sentience in the town.
Ah, yeah.
They're like guardians protecting the gateway. So they actually have to fight.
Maybe that old farmer dude wasn't crop circles in season one. It was a scarecrow-related thing.
Yeah, true.
Well, maybe it is crop circles and then it was fake and then, like, he's sitting in his tractor and the scarecrow just comes up behind him and, like, slits his throat.
Right, yeah. Or even like, if it was, like...
pours the blood out into, a cup and then communes with, like, the devil.
Or even if he made, like, fake scarecrows and then, like, at the end of the season, the sting at the end, he's dragging them away and one of them comes alive and kills him or something like that.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, for sure.
Because then you could play with Monsters of the Week and then, like, the last couple of episodes, it's the Lovecrafting thing. I've got to close another gateway. Because you could have, like, quite a few seasons and then eventually they go to college. Because originally I was going to have them like as adults and then reminiscing. But then I'm like, that's just the first film.
Yeah.
In that version, Adam Scott was also in that version playing a grown-up Shaggy who was like a lawyer.
His
shit together. But then I was like, I like him as kids because it's a cool show.
So like season two, they finished school.
Or it'd be like...
they all just having like a gap year.
Almost. Or it'd be like... so season one, potentially they're like the year just before their last year of school. So they're leading up to the last year of school, which is why Daphne's trying to get early college applications.
Yeah, cool.
Fred's like, I've got to get picked on the team more regularly. It could be that they're seniors and then they are taking a gap year, or it could just be like it's set like in the second half of the year. It
could just be over the summer break. It doesn't have to be like over a year.
Summer or spring break or something. Yeah. And then, you get them when they're at college and they keep investigating stuff. And
yeah.
Because what I'd love to do is you'd love to just like do all these like really obvious conspiracies, like government, like lizard people as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like I know you wanted me to kill the dad, but I think it's better that he becomes the mayor.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe we could kill Norman Reedus. Oh, no, he's got to stay the sheriff.
Someone's got to die.
Maybe kill the coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can die.
Kill Shaggy's dad.
Oh.
Well, look, it's probably worthwhile because otherwise he's just...
his dad's a piece of shit.
I feel like Shaggy probably killed him with that one punch, right?
Well, it could be that, Shaggy's dad is in on it as well. Because if he was a high-ranking military official, maybe he's in on it too. He's a frogman.
Oh, like maybe Shaggy punches him in the face and storms out of the room and the dad picks himself up, looks in the mirror, and he's got a frog tongue or something.
Yeah, he's like pushes his face back into place.
Oh. You could even have that like scene, like Shaggy's just trying to get... like he's like, oh, dad's always in his shed. I'm never allowed in his shed.
Ooh. Yeah.
Knocks the dad out, and then he's like, fuck it, I'm going in the shed, and it's full of like, whoa, that's
and
a lot
that's
of...
that's when Shaggy gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
Not when he's at the library. Oh, he gets kidnapped because he realizes his dad is like... 2IC to the frog people.
Yeah.
So then maybe it's about, Shaggy's dad is the... Maybe it's Shaggy's stepdad.
Maybe Shaggy's dad is the big antagonist. And Bob Odenkirk, who you think, because he's been so nice along, oh, surely it's going to be him. But no, maybe nobody asked to involve him because he's just so shit and nice. And he's like, oh, guys, what?
I told you could use this cave for goddamn recreation purposes, stays, Rogers.
He stays the mayor and Brock gets his sheriff job back.
That's it.
Yeah.
No, you know what? Bob Odenkirk dies. Because what happened is he comes down and he's like, what in the name are you... what are you doing down here, Rogers? I said you could use these old caves for training. I turned a blind eye. And you're doing... what are you doing? People are wearing... oh, heck, this is bad. And then like he just like shoots him in the back of the head and he dies. And the frog people feed on him.
Cool.
And it's there's a new mayor in town. So then we got to work out who plays the dad because he seems like now an important character.
Okay. Yeah,
who plays Steve Harrington's dad? It'd have to be someone like kind of scary though. Like
yeah. You want it to be somebody intimidating.
Who could demand John Hamm?
Oh,
with a buzz cut.
Yeah, you don't get enough scary Hamm. That doesn't happen.
No. don't get enough scary.
You don't.
So yeah, when we talk about this episode, you should tweet us with the hashtag scary ham.
But when, give me a movie where John Hamm plays
Baby
like...
Baby Driver.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Fair, Baby Driver. I forgot about Baby Driver.
Mad Men, he's not a nice bloke.
Yeah, but he's not like... I don't know.
There you go. Or right. Billy Crudup.
John Hamm's good.
John Hamm.
All John right, Hamm's yeah. good.
John Hamm. So we've rewritten. We've had about 8 pitches for the Scooby-Doo reboot. That's what I wanted this episode to be more of.
It's good.
Cool. I started writing it out, and it's just too much content to cover from one person.
I'm not sure if I want Shaggy's dad. I don't know if there's a good idea, but what if, you know, he punches his dad, he goes out to the shed, and instead of his dad being part of the frog people, his dad's being like, what the fuck? He's like fucked up by it all, and that's why he's such a bad person.
He knew.
He's like, I'm protecting you, because the more you go out and do this shit, the closer you're gonna get. And he's doing it a bad way, but
he dies.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's
Ham Dad's out there fighting,
or Ham Dad at the very least is like his. I just imagine him going into that shed, and it's just like newspaper clippings covering the wall.
Yeah,
you know, documents everywhere, books all over the place, and he's like, "What the fuck, Dad?" And his dad's like, you're in it now. It's too deep. And then maybe he dies.
So Shaggy thinks his dad's a piece of shit, but really his dad is just, in his own fucked up way,
trying
to help him protect him.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And then John Hamm dies. And Bob Odenkirk is still being an asshole.
Yeah,
being
yeah.
Really great.
Oh. Bob Odenkirk as the frog prince, but with the same kind of goofy, like.
Well, because that'd be hilarious if it's like, you know, it's the whole Professor Quirrell is Lord Voldemort thing. Yeah. The guy. So, you know, like Bob Odenkirk's like, I didn't know they were doing this down here. I thought it was, you know, just and then it could be like, they can find like a document. It's like, but we saw you go in this tunnel. And he's like, you had to.
The rules is up, I guess. Okay.
I'm a frog man. And he pulls off his mask. Cool. And he's like, surprise, kiddies.
That's cool.
So, yeah, there we go.
Cool.
There we go. So I think on that note, I've been Handsome Tom.
I've been Carney.
I've been Jackson.
And if you guys have any suggestions of how we could build up our Scooby-Doo-verse on Netflix, please let us know. Use the hashtag ScaryHam by contacting us on Twitter at MMSansPants, or email moviemaintenance@sanspantsradio.com. Or you could tweet us all individually. I'm at AwkwardTreed.
I'm at Sidekick of Dowie.
I'm at All Dogs Are Dead.
Including Scooby-Doo?
Yeah. Well, it's all dogs.
Oh, man. All right. See ya. See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support the show, why not become a member at SansPantsPlus.com and get early access to our shows, a bunch of exclusive content, and much, much more. That's SansPantsPlus.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.